Well, welcome. And so, this talk, unfortunately, I just lost. So we're just gonna, I'm not quite sure what happened, but we're gonna have to wing it here. All my quotes and all the beautiful things that I have prepared for you. So I'm gonna tap dance a little bit while I try to get this back. So I will start with this. I do know my start. I was blessed a couple weeks ago to be able to go to a Unity Ministers conference. And one of the talks was from a Reverend Sylvia Sumter, who has the Unity Church in Washington, a massive church. And she reminded us of something that's really quite relevant, I believe, in these days. And I believe is one of the reasons why we feel so un-at-ease, with such a lack of peace in the world. And that is because our world is changing so fast. I mean, I'm looking across, and I think there's only a few who are younger than me, so I feel safer to say it in this way. I was a Trekkie, Star Trek. And can't you... And isn't it amazing that a lot of the things that in Star Trek or in some of the other thoughts that science said would come to pass in the future, we are living it right now? I mean, of course we're not looking at Beam Me Up Scotty, but our cellular phones. Don't they look just like the devices that they used in Star Trek? And actually, those are passé. Those were the flip phones. We've gone beyond that. We are living in the future of our ancestors. We're living in the now. And things are happening so beautifully well. Who would have imagined the way that we are living? Even the Jetsons. How many of you remember the Jetsons? Yeah. Remember how with the Jetsons, or I can't even remember any of the movies right now, where the cars used to fly? Do you know that that's a possibility now? That they're looking at cars. There are actually cars that have been made where they can fly through the air and then drive at the same time. We are living and what our ancestors and what our younger self thought was an impossibility or something that was going to happen a long time ago. And not only are we living in those times, have you noticed these times are speeding up? I thought it was just because I was getting older, that I can't believe already 6 months has passed in a year. I feel like we just began the year. The inventions that come, as soon as they come, they're passé. And that right there, the fact that we're constantly in the flex and in the flow of change in the world continues to keep us slightly off balance. Actually, the norm nowadays is the consistent change that we are going through. And might I say, even in this ministry has been a influx of change. I mean, lo and behold, you had a minister, then you didn't have a minister, now you have a new senior minister who isn't very new, and she keeps changing the service. Jeez! Things just keep moving, and not everything is the same. And the world seems to be, I know there's been wars, but our world seems to be in this flow of chaos and war, and people trying to find their power. And so the question is, how do you find peace in the turmoil of change? And as the old Unity song says, peace begins with me. But when we are all in this turmoil, not only in the world, but in our lives, when we feel like we're in the hurricane, how can we find peace? Well, that is the question. And I will say, first of all, that I believe that whether it's the war with ourselves, war with our spouses, or any other relationship we have, usually starts in a very silly way in our humanity. I bring to light a war that was started in June 1999 by Honduras and El Salvador. It was a long war, and a war that started in many reasons. Honduras and El Salvador are like cousin countries. They're so close to one another. And El Salvador and Honduras had this war for years and years and years. Now, El Salvador was, they were practically the same. Honduras was larger and had better farmland. And El Salvadorians used to like to come in and farm, and there were some suspicions, but for the most part, they lived in harmony. So why in June of 1969 did they all of a sudden go to a long war where there were so many people who were killed? Well, for a while there, not many people, they kind of thought about it. You know, for so long they were friends. What happened? Well, one person finally, well after the war, decided to investigate what started it off and why after so many years of harmony, that especially in June of 1969, did a war break out that killed so many. Well, this person investigated it, and lo and behold, they found out that it was because, not because of politics, not because of the farmland, and that people were warring over the land. It was because of a sports event. A sports event, and one official's fight over the score started a war that lasted years, killed millions, hurt a beloved relationship. Don't we find that usually some of our most devastating wars, either within ourselves or within the relationships, start over the most silly things? And yes, there might have been other reasons why it contributed to it, but the breaking point usually is something so insignificant. And it seems more and more and more, as people are trying to find their power, there's really no reason, good reason, why we find ourselves in these wars. No good reasons except he said, she said, you did, they did. And at this point in time, the world keeps spinning out of control over the turmoil. And as Christians, so many Christians have used the phrase in the Bible from Matthew 10:34, where Jesus says, I came not to bring peace, but to bring a sword. That doesn't even sound like the loving Jesus teachings, does it? I mean, this guy who only talked about peace and healing and loving, that sounded like David. That sounded like his ancestry, David, who was the warring, victorious one. But I believe, and metaphysically, Jesus didn't say that to say that I'm going to bring a sword for war and killing. I would like you to take away the word peace and change it into complacency. Because so many times when we look for peace, we look for an escape. We look for it just for complacency. And so when Jesus said this, I think he said this, that he didn't choose to have a complacency, but a sword to divide between the old life and a new life. If you know anything about Jesus' teaching, the new life would be of the teachings of the victories of God. The victories of God, how do we live in those pieces? Especially when it seems like our lives are hurricanes. This world is a hurricane. But if you know anything about a hurricane, as it spins around, what is the most quiet place in the hurricane? Right in the center. How can we find ourselves in the stillness where there is peace, where our world isn't going out of control in a violent way? How can we find that and then be the light outside of it? Because that is what truly Jesus' teaching is all about. The primary teachings, that it isn't the typical teachings that we teach. Yes, meditation and prayer are the hallmarks and foundations of unity. But so many times, again, we use that as a way of inactivity, an excuse not to do something, but to escape. And yes, these are tools that we need so we can find the center. But peace, I give to you, is not just a place where everything stops. Peace is a place of choice. Peace is a place that you choose to go to. Peace is your not the complacency, but we also choose the sword to move away from that which is not of our good and that which is a new life, where we're not in the middle of a hurricane, but our light shines truly, and that we can dissolve the hurricane and be in a new place and build a new place of peace and love and be out of this place of war. And there are ways, I believe, and that we teach that we can do this. The first one I already gave you is choose to be at peace. I know that's simply, more simply said than done, but it is just that simple. If you're in an argument, you can choose to be right or you can choose peace. I know in my growing up, I always liked being right. Something in my makeup, if I've researched it and I know this, I know it's right. And you can't tell me that it isn't right when I've said all this. And you go around and around for at what end? Who cares, really, who's right? Why can't we all be right or all be wrong? But the reality is, at some point in time, you have to choose to say, you know what? I am tired of the arguing. I am tired of the fighting. And I don't care who's right or wrong. I just choose peace with you right here, right now. Part of that is in three parts. It's about what is your narrative? You know, that's a key word that we look at right now, especially with the racial acts. But the narrative is a part of your story. And in finding peace, it's looking at your own story and your contribution to that story. And so many times, one of the things I learned in Buddhism is that most of us are telling stories on ourselves. We're not telling the truth. We're not seeing things as they are. So the first place of peace is actually looking at your life. That's a part of the new life, is looking at your old life and seeing what you are mistaking as your reality. What stories are you plaguing in your mind? What things are you telling yourself that aren't realities? What example? I have many friends who were adopted. Most of them chose to believe a story about their natural parent, their birth parent. And ultimately, every time I spoke to them, I would ask them, how do you know this about your birth parent? Did they write you a letter? Did they somehow send you a recording to tell you the reasons why they gave you up, or are you making up stories that you are living through, that you're living with, that you're getting upset about? Ultimately, the reality is that they had no understanding as to why they were given up for adoption. There was no good reason, no bad reason, but it was a story that they chose to be within and to live in. That ultimately for all of them hurt them because they could not understand why someone would give them up. And so then I would choose to say, well, why not? If you're going to make up stories, why not choose to make up a good story then? Why not choose to say that they loved you so much that they couldn't take care of you? So they tried to find you a home where you would be loved, that they couldn't love you. That's the narrative. What is the story that you're making up about any situation? And is that story bringing you joy and peace? Or is that story keeping you in the hurricane? Peace be still, Jesus said. Peace be still. That was one of the ultimate favorite quotes from Charles Fillmore. Because it's your narrative that will either give you peace or will continue to give you and round you up in a hellacious sense. You have the choice to find peace in your story. So when you look at your narrative, look for the honest truth and find yourself in the stillness, transcendence. I know that in prayer and with unity, we like to go back into ourselves. And yes, it begins with us, but also, so many times we think it's all about us, 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 that we don't realize that whatever story that we're going through, the whole world is going through that whole story with us. You don't have to do this alone. You don't have to live alone. You don't have to think that the issues of the world are all yours. We are all here together. And that if we can find peace and hold out peace for another, and that person holds out another peace for another, and that we can be the example for each other, then peace will reign in the world. And then lastly, none of this will be of any help to any of us if we don't have faith. Ultimately, if we don't have faith in the goodness of God, faith in the goodness of humanity, faith in the goodness of ourselves, then we might as well just give up. Because peace will not be there if we don't believe in a peace. Peace will not be there if we don't choose to have faith in our own capabilities to move forward. Our lives will be continually in turmoil unless we are the ones to choose to stop it. Peace is an action that you choose, an action that you choose to move into. Peace is a possibility that if we're going to survive as a universe, we not only have to obtain it, but we have to be it. In this time of joy and happiness and of great possibilities that we are seeing happening in front of our eyes on a continual basis, we can live in a peace within the change. The only way that we will be able to sustain the change that continually is to move forward is to move forward and be the light. The only way that we can be the light is to know that within the hurricane of that silence, we can choose and we have the power to allow the hurricane to subside. With our own words, with our own thoughts, we can just say enough. There's a story about one of the directors of Silent Unity, May Rollins. Kansas City is a tornado city. And Unity Village, the heartbeat of Unity, is right in the middle of it. And only a couple times in recent years has a tornado even touched any part of the land. And there was one time in the 1950s where May Rowland was the director. There was a hurricane coming straight for Unity Village. May Rowland climbed up to the highest point of the water tower. She looked at the hurricane and the tornado, and with her words and her hands out, she said, "Stop. Peace be still. You will not come on this land. Stop. Peace be still. You will not come on this land." And beautifully and remarkably enough, the hurricane just went away. Now, if you look at the news and the reports, it went another way. But for the miracle that it was, all she did was her faith, had her words based on that faith, and her thought that this tornado will not be here now. You, my beloveds, have the same power within you. You have to have faith. Faith accompanying the words. Faith in the knowledge that you are the power of peace. You are the power of joy. Grab a hold of it. Any part of your life within you that there is no peace, say, "Peace be still." Say that with me right now. Peace be still. Think about some turmoil in your life right now that's got you up in the tornado, in the hurricane, in the tornado, and you're in the center wondering what to do. Say, peace be still. Peace be still. Think about something in your work life. Or if you're retired, thank you, God. But for those of us who are in our work life, think about something that you don't want to go back into tomorrow. Look at it, grab a hold of it and say, peace be still, peace be still. I didn't hear a conviction then. I'd like you to hold your hand out to that thought and say, peace be still, peace be still. Think of the traumas of the world. Now let's go Albany. Think of any of the traumas in Albany. Any of the murders in Albany. The recent raids and robberies and muggings. Think of the newscast you said. Put your hand out and say, peace be still. Peace be still. Now let's look at all the traumas in the world. Pick one, pick all of them. Take a deep breath in. Deep breath out. This is a big one. Know that each and every one of us have the power of world peace. Go into our heart space. Feel love. Allow our love to center in from our heart to penetrate our whole bodies. Breathe in again. Release. Have a vision of our world. Maybe from outer space, look at the beautiful globe. Now wrap love all around the globe, generating from your heart to the world. And now I ask us all to say, peace be still. Peace be still. Let's say that two more times. Peace be still. And with more love as one, let us all say again, peace be still. Thank you, Mother, Father, God, for allowing us to be the peace, to showing us, to guiding us in ways that we could be peace, not only in our own lives, but to shine our light for the world so that peace is around us, within us, and we are acting as peace. Amen. Amen. And so, let us, if you need any more, let us say this affirmation throughout the week. Let's say it together. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen.